Welcome to Hope Is Here. We are continuing our conversation with Kev Frank. He is the founder and president of Refuge for Women, based right here in Central Kentucky, but has expanded to a national level in just 10 years. We have heard some incredible stories of what God's doing through this ministry to provide hope for women that have been exposed to human trafficking through prostitution, maybe dancing in strip clubs, pornography. Man, if you missed our first two programs, I want to encourage you to go check those out. They're only 14 minutes long. Go to our website. That is hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Kid, you know, you have your four values: safety, healing, faith, and growth. But I've got to imagine for these women that you are trying to help put their lives back together, providing, first of all, that safe place. And as they get healing, trying to help them to know that God loves them. I got to believe if I've been through some of the stuff that these women have been through, that I've got to even wonder if there even is a God that loves me.
You're exactly right, Greg. I mean, it's, you know, for many of them, you know, faith is who we are as an organization. And we know the only reason that we started 10 years ago is because it was super, super clear that God was creating a safe place for these women to come to. And it was his idea, not my idea, not my wife's idea. It was his idea. And so, you know, we're all about making it very clear that Jesus Christ is our healer, and that a relationship with him, we believe, is what's going to just turn their life upside down for good. But at the same time, for many of them, we want to be real sensitive when they come into the program, because they've all experienced different levels of spirituality, faith. Many of them have tried, I mean, they've seen things on TV, they've learned from other people, you know, they have tried about every faith, just searching for anything that would ease the pain, that would give them any sort of hope. And so many of them have got just a wide array of experiences with faith. And so other of them, they may come in, they're very, very angry. If there is a God, then why in the world, where was he? Where was he when I was in that crack house, when I was being raped, when I was being abused as a little girl? How in the world could a loving God let a six-year-old go through or be sold? How could a loving God let a three-year-old child be sold and raped? You're talking some deep, deep questions, some deep theology that goes back to the problem of evil. How do you explain the problem of evil to people? You know, and it's like, it's not easy. It's not easy. And, you know, our hope is to share truth of Scripture. And sometimes we just say we don't know. And but our hope is, as they journey forward, as they learn truth, as they see the embodiment of Christ in our staff and our volunteers, that they realize that there is a loving God, and that God was with them. Certainly not advocating for the pain that they were going through, but certainly with them and helping them. And we always tell them, I believe the only reason you're even alive today is because of, yes, God obviously allowed some things to happen, but I think the only reason you're alive, and they'll tell you that too, I think that God protected me because I probably should be dead right now. And so about 66% of all of our residents get baptized while they are in our program. Wow. Not everybody, but a bunch. Easter's coming up. We've had a bunch of Easter baptisms. You know,
love it. Well, time this airs, it will have just been Easter, and that makes me think. You know, as you share that about evil, you know, I've been asked that a lot since I got ordained in ministry back in 2003, and I say, you know, it's not God that causes the evil. You know, God can treat us like robots and, you know, control everything, but you know, he does give us free will and a choice to make, and that's why he wants a personal relationship with. And unfortunately, as his kids, sometimes we don't make good decisions, and some people, unfortunately, make some really selfish, some really evil decisions.
Yeah.
But I love what your ministry, your organization's doing, is trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus and show them that there is a part. God really does love you, but we, you know, get you out of this evil and show you what Jesus really wants in your life.
Yeah, exactly. Our hope is, you know, we're you know, again, we're we're not a church. You know, we're a nonprofit organization that is faithful followers of Jesus Christ. You know, so we're going to try to share the big nuggets of the gospel with our residents. We're not going to try to get into the weeds per se. There's a lot of churches that even don't agree on the things in the weeds, you know, and so we're not necessarily, you know, advocating for any specific type of church. We're saying, hey, you know, we believe the Bible, we believe in Jesus Christ and the big nuggets and you know, this is a lifetime of figuring out, you know, what you believe and all of that, you know, but yeah, I mean, I make it very clear, really, any chance I get to let people know that, you know, again, Christ is our healer. We can do a lot of things for these ladies, and even if they don't accept Christ during their time, they can still be a success at Refuge. They can still walk away with a lot of hope. They can still, you know, choose to never go back into selling themselves online, selling themselves in the strip clubs. To us, that's a phenomenal success.
Absolutely.
But if they accept Christ as their Savior, we're even more excited, you know. Yes. But again, you don't have to be a resident of our program. So,
well, share, you know, to give people hope, because, you know, we've heard all the unfortunately horrific situations that the women go through before they come to you and get a safe place and healing and growth. But you just share you know, some stories of change that will bring hope to our listeners today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, over the years we've worked with hundreds of women, and so, you know, just you know, some of the success stories, I think, is what keeps you going and keeps you motivated. You know, obviously there's setbacks, and obviously you know, not everybody that comes, you know, I believe that lots of seeds get planted in everybody that's here. Some of them choose to leave early. Some of them choose to go back and harm's way. And again, we believe that those seeds have been planted and that love that they experienced will bear fruit at some point in the future in their lives, you know. And so, you know, but, you know, one of the cool story, Greg, and I'll share a few stories here. You know, one that I love is our very first graduate of Refuge for Women. Her name is Jessica. You know, she 2 years ago became our very first board member at Refuge. And so she graduated the program in 2011, and she came from inner city Detroit, Michigan, and she came out of a very, very difficult situation in Detroit and came to Kentucky here. And when Jessica came through, I mean, she has a personality that is just off the charts. I mean, just this big old personality, you know, and just, but has been through a lot, you know, and she graduated the program. She actually started working at Toyota. She got a job there and has actually been at Toyota ever since. Mm. For like 6 years now, she's been working at Toyota, and 2 years ago invited her to come on to our board of directors as the very first resident that has ever been in a place of authority and leadership of the organization. And so Jessica has got two daughters and is now leading a Bible study every Sunday night. She has between 10 and 20 young ladies that come over to her apartment. She's plugged into church, and she leads a Bible study for these girls because she knows what life was like for her when she was their age. And so her daughter is involved in the youth group, and so all these girls come over. And so I'm seeing her post on Facebook about this Bible study on a regular basis, and you're just going, that's incredible. She spoke at last year's gala as a survivor and as a success story. The governor and his wife were sitting out there. They approached her after the event, gave her their personal contact information, and just said, we want to speak with you further in the future, because you're living out exactly what we want to see more and more people in Kentucky who have hit difficult times get where you're at right now. And so she has just had some amazing opportunities. But Jessica is a huge success story, you know, and somebody that I'm super, super proud of. You know, we've had another one that I would say, I mentioned this on the last program, is Devin, who came through our program, who's now in the schools talking and sharing her story and testimony. You know, I shared on the last program that she's from Lexington here and sold herself at 15 years old for the very first time. She's very open about that, willing to let people know that this is my story, but this is what Christ has done in my life. And so we go into the schools and she tells students. Last year, we connect with about 11,000 students last year. We'll be in front of about 15,000 this year. And Devin goes on the majority of those sharing events and says, this is what was going on in my life. This was some of the abuse that I went through in my younger years. this was how I started experimenting with drugs and getting involved with the wrong crowd. And so it's a powerful, powerful story. But it's funny, Devin didn't even complete the program. She came twice, left twice, both times. And now she's like one of our best success stories. I'm like, you cannot be that successful. You didn't even graduate. You know, you left early both times. But now you're out there doing it. You're doing it. She's married to a godly man. He's involved in the worship team at his church, at their church. You know, it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal story. So we're super, super proud of Devin. One more story real fast, you know, and this is we've had several ladies that have come out of the pornography industry, left California, came to Central Kentucky, you know, and I'm thinking
fresh start.
And, you know, some of our listeners, again, I mean, can identify with how much of a problem pornography is in our society. The number one porn site online gets 82 million visitors every single day. 82 million visitors. Pornography is an epidemic. The number one group of people that download pornography is teenagers. And so with everybody having iPhones in their pockets, the ability to have pornography within a couple of clicks is right there. And so we've served multiple people. I could tell you about Deanna. I could tell you about Jessica. You know, tell you about different people who have come and just, you know, given us an even more understanding of what is involved in the porn industry. And I tell men's groups whenever I have a chance to talk to men to say, guys, these are some of the people that are being affected by pornography. They say human trafficking is being fueled because of pornography. And so, you know, Deanna is somebody who, you know, is very open. She tells her story of coming out of the pornography industry. She actually went to Asbury Seminary after the Refuge because she has a heart for ministry. She graduated Asbury Seminary with her master's degree. She told me a couple of days ago she's actually thinking about applying for the Doctorate of Ministry program at Asbury. Met a young man studying to be a pastor at Asbury. They got married 2.5 years ago. And they are this phenomenal couple now. But Deanna is like, okay, a master's degree at a Christian institution, coming out of just this journey. And when she got Christ, I mean, she really got Christ. And it really transformed who she is. And so Jessica Neely is traveling the country right now, trying to change laws all across the country to stop pornography and the spread of pornography because she was in it for 10 years. And so, you know, these are some of the success stories we've been able to experience. But, you know, Greg, one of the things that you mentioned is, you know, again, if you want to partner with us in seeing more life change, go to our website, refugeforwomen.org. I'll say this to say, we are in the process of purchasing a 50-acre farm here in Central Kentucky. We've been on the farm for 10 years. We have an opportunity to buy it. We still need about $300,000 more to be able to purchase that farm. We're going to open up next year an emergency house. So we're going to have a long-term home. We're going to have an emergency house. That emergency house will have 16 to 18 women in that house in partnership with the state police. They can bring somebody to us in a matter of 3 to 4 hours when they do a rescue. And so, again, if this is something you want to be a part of, go to our website, donate. We'd love to partner with you, especially for more and more women here in the state of Kentucky.
All right. Ked, thanks so much for being here. Man, go check out our website, refugeforwomen.org. I know that you would be blessed. You know, help them create hope for women all throughout Central Kentucky. But now, more importantly, it's going national. Dallas, Pittsburgh, Las Vegas. I mean, and they're going to open some more homes. So the Holy Spirit of God's touched your heart during this, go check out their website, refugeforwomen.org, and see how you can make a difference. My name's Greg Horn. We'll see you next time on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.